want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Summit Church, and we are in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And, you know, if you had a handout from last week, it said verses 27 through 29. Let me tell you, this is so important, we're going to do it again. And I might even stay there for next week and the week after that. This is just so important that I'm going to slow down, and we're going to talk about this and talk about it until we hear what God has to say about it. So, we are talking about knowing you are eternally secure. And so, last week, I asked the question, is there something that could be better than knowing that you can be saved? And our reply was, yes, there is. It is knowing that you can be certain that you are saved, or knowing that you are saved, right? That'd be better than knowing that you can be saved, is knowing that you are saved. Well, and then we ask the next question is there anything more wonderful than knowing that you can be saved and knowing that you can be certain that you are saved? And once again, our reply was, yes, there is. It is knowing that once you're saved, and certain you're saved, you can also know that you can never, ever lose your salvation. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So, the title of today's message is Knowing You Are Eternally Secure, Part 2. Yeah, so we had Part 1 last week. This is Part 2. And for those of you that weren't here last week, and there's several of you that weren't here last week, I'm not going to review everything we covered last week, but I will summarize it to kind of get everybody on the same page with us here. And if you were not here, I really do encourage you to go out and listen to the podcast from last week. And there are cards back there on the desk that give you the website where you can go find it. But I would really encourage you, because we spent a lot of time talking about why this is important, and given a real good basic foundation for why we believe what we believe about our eternal security. So if you weren't here last week, I would encourage you to go and listen to the podcast. Now, I'm also going to ask whether you believe or you don't believe that this is or can be true, that you can know that you are eternally secure. Then I want you to listen to the scriptures that we are going to cover over the next couple of weeks. And I want you to ignore for a little while what makes logical sense to you. And you can't think of this concept with your logical mind, because God's grace and God's love for you is far beyond anything that you can understand and conceive, right? Now, I also want you to ignore what you have been taught before, including what I have said. We've all heard messages on this. We've all heard sermons on this. We've all heard Bible study lessons. We've all grown up in churches with different doctrines and so forth. But I want you to just ignore all of that. Just set it aside for just a little while, because I want your mind open, your heart open, and your ears open, with no preconceived ideas or ideologies getting in the way of hearing what God has to say about this subject. You know, instead of all that stuff that man says, I want you to listen to what God says in His Word. You see, God has a gift for you. And that's why I'm spending so much time on this. This is a gift from God for you in this series of messages. God wants you to know that you can be saved. God wants you to know that you can be certain of your salvation. But most of all, God wants you to know that once you are a child of God, an adopted member of His family, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, saved to eternal life, that you can never, ever lose that salvation. That father-child relationship can never be undone. Listen, you don't drop in and out of the family of God. Once you're in for good. That's what the Bible says. And that's what God wants to give you as His gift, is this certainty to you, so that you can concentrate on loving Him, praising Him, and working for Him. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesus tells us this is true in the verses from the Gospel of John that are the focus of this series of lessons. And this is where we start our lesson, and this is the focus verses that we are operating from. It's John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, this is at least the third time that Jesus has discussed your security as a believer in our study of the Gospel of John. And we're just in chapter 10. And Jesus has already talked about this three times. Now, one of the important lessons about Bible study or about studying the Bible is that when God repeats a biblical truth, especially when he repeats it multiple times, it is something that he considers really, really important. And you need to pay attention, and you need to write it upon your heart and get it in there and get it settled in your mind that this is what God wants you to believe, okay? So, he says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." All right, so if you can find something stronger than God the Father, I want you to let me know about it, okay? If you can find something stronger than God the Father, I want you to come and tell me. Let me tell you, it doesn't get any plainer than this. Once you belong to Jesus, not any, including you, can change that. Not ever, ever. Okay, now I also want to make clear that we are not talking about something that is incidental this morning. We're talking about something that is fundamental to our faith when we're talking about eternal security of the believer. How you can know that you are eternally secure. That is something that is absolutely necessary for your spiritual health. A person who does not know they are saved and secure does not have the emotional stability, in my estimation, that a child of God ought to have. You don't have the emotional stability that I believe that a child of God should have. And I'll tell you another reason why it's so important that you understand this. It's important that if you're going to be a productive, fruit-bearing Christian, when you know that your future is secure, then you can concentrate on the present, you can concentrate on accomplishing the things that God has given you to do, and you don't have to worry about whether or not your salvation is in check, okay? So a third reason that it is so important is that it will help you in evangelism and in soul winning. You know, one of the best gospel message that we can teach people is what the Bible has to say about the fact that the God who saves you is the same God who secures you, and he is the same God who keeps you. He has saved me, and I can tell you truly that the God who saved me is the God who will save you, and the God who has kept me is the same God who will keep you. Now, we spend a whole lot of time talking about what we really mean when we discuss the eternal security of the believer. And the first thing we defined was what we mean when we say the believer. Let's make sure we get our definitions down right. A lot of people have different dictionaries for the things that we talk about, right? So I want to define what the believer is. And again, guys, for those who were here last week, this is a summary of what I gave last week, but just bear with me because we got a room full of people here who haven't heard everything that we talked about, okay? But we're not talking about someone who has just had a head knowledge. We're not talking about someone who has joined a church and been baptized and gives his money and does all the right religious things. They look good. They sound good. They even feel good for coming and getting everything done at church, right? So that's all well and good, but none of these or all of these can save you. We're talking about a person who has received Christ into his heart by faith, who has become a partaker of the divine nature, who has been twice born, who has received the new birth. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says, God says, that that person can never, ever again be a lost soul. Never, ever again be a lost soul. Now, each of us know someone who we thought was saved. Because last week we talked a long time about, Keith, wait, hang on. I know somebody who was saved, and then they went away, and they lost their salvation, right? So what about them? What about them? And I'd reply saying that only God knows the spiritual condition of that person's heart. We're not very good at all at telling that in any way. Hell is going to be full of preachers, teachers, deacons, deaconesses, and really good moral people who did all the right things. But Jesus says, I never knew you. Not I knew you once, and then I forgot you. He says, I never knew you. I never knew you. So when the Bible says that you can be eternally secure, we're not talking about people who profess to be religious and then turned away. If they go away and stay away, they were never saved. Pay attention to what I just said. Because we all have our periods of falling down. As Christians, we all have times when we are not doing the things that we ought to be doing. And sometimes those periods last a really long time. It can be years and years that you turn away from God before you come back. I mean, think of the story of the prodigal son, right? That's what that whole story is about. And so we all have those periods. But I said if they go away and stay away, they were never saved. And the reason that they fell away is that they were never truly saved. You know, I had a preacher, and I quoted this last time, I had a preacher tell me once that the faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw in it from the start. The faith that fizzles before the finish had a flaw from the first. So, now that's it. People who make a false start and then fall away and never come back, they didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. And Judas is a prime example of what we are talking about here, okay? Judas never lost his salvation because Judas was never saved. The Bible says that Jesus knew from the beginning that Judas did not believe in him. So, when we're talking about eternal security, we're not talking about the eternal security for people who have never been saved. We are talking about eternal security for people who have had a personal, vital relationship with God through Christ. Everybody clear on what we're talking about here? Amen? Let me hear amen that you are. Amen. All right. So, now let me give you some reasons straight out of the Word of God that tells us why and how we can know that we are eternally secure. Now, over this series of lessons, I'm going to give you 8 reasons, and I'm going to let every one of them start with the letter P so you can't forget it. And Janice and I, we were talking about these 3 reasons that I gave last week, and we kept quoting each other and saying, you know, this is what they were because we had the letter P out there. Well, that's why we're doing this, is so that you can put these in your heart and write them down. And the first 3 were promise, perseverance, and predestination. Boy, I hit all the hot buttons last week, let me tell you. All right, so this week we're going to summarize these 3 first and then jump into the next 3 and just see how far we actually get in our lesson today. We're not going to get through all 8 of them today. We'll hopefully get through at least the next 3, all right? So the very first reason is the word promise. God has promised you eternal security. Now, right here in these 3 verses of John that I read to you earlier, God promises you eternal security. When Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, that is God promising you eternal security. And then we go again into the book of Romans, and God promises you eternal security there as well. Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded, that means I am convinced, I am sure of this, and I want to make sure that you know it. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures. And that last one was just in case he missed something out of the first 9. He says, any other creature, anything else that could come along, I'm saying that, shall be able to do what? Separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in verse after verse, God promises you eternal security. That promise, in my estimation, that promise in my heart, all by itself, should be enough to settle the question. We ought to be able to close up our book and go home knowing that we are eternally secure. But I know that's not enough for everyone. So I'm going to give you seven reasons more than that, that you can be sure of your eternal security. So the second one, first one is promise. The second one, the second P is perseverance. So not only promise, but perseverance. God will complete what He has begun. Even before you got saved, the Holy Spirit began a work in you. And He will not quit that work until the day of Jesus Christ. Now you tell me anything that the Holy Spirit has started that He's not strong enough to complete. Tell me something that the Holy Spirit can start and not complete. He will complete anything He has started. He don't make any mistakes. He doesn't get started on you and then say, oops, no, He's just too bad. I can't finish that work. Okay? That's not the way it works. If He starts the work in you, He's going to finish it. All right? So, notice that it is not the perseverance of the saints that we are talking about. It is not how hard or how long you persevere. It is the God of glory who is able to complete what He has begun. I don't know about you, but I can't complete anything I started. And if my salvation depended on me completing the work that I tried to start, I wouldn't even be there. All right? That's just the way it is. It is God's work that He completes. He perseveres until the job is done. So the third one is predestination. We've got promise, perseverance. I almost forgot it there for a second. And predestination. All right? God has predestined your salvation. God has predetermined your destiny, and nothing you can do to change that destiny. You cannot be more sure than predestined. If you're predestined to be in heaven, then you'll be in heaven. That means if you don't get to heaven, then you were never predestined to be in heaven. And God says that you are predestined to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't be in hell and be like Jesus Christ. Now, just because everybody's head, the red flags, just went off for what I just said, okay? I'm going to repeat what I said last week, all right? I am talking about a God who knows, because He is omniscient, whether or not you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He has known that from the foundations of time. I'm not saying that you don't have to choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you do. I am saying that God already knows whether you will or you won't. He already knows that He is going to call you and how you're going to respond. He already knows whether you will be His child or not. It is predestined because God knows all things. You still have to decide. You still have to choose Jesus Christ. He just happens to know what you're going to do because you're not in the same timeline that He is. He's outside of time. He's everywhere in past, present, and future. He knows all things. God called you. You came. And He knew you would, even if you don't know that you will or you won't. Okay? He knows it. He can know things you don't. Can you imagine that? God can know something you don't know. Imagine that. Really? All right? So, all right. The summary's over. That's the first three P's. Okay? So I took inside of about 15 minutes a whole lesson we did last hour. All right? Last week. So let's get on with it here, and let's get to the fourth P. That fourth P is perfection. Not only promise, not only perseverance, not only predestination, but perfection. Jesus has perfected you forever. Forever. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering He has perfected forever them that are sanctified." So listen to this. Listen to what it says. By one offering, He, Jesus, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, what is that one offering that Jesus has made? His precious blood poured out on Calvary's cross. That one offering makes you perfect forever. But But look carefully at what it says. For by one offering. How many offerings has Jesus made? One. Not two, not three, not ten. One. For by one offering he has perfected for how long? Forever. Learn this about salvation. When you get saved, you don't just get a fresh start. God doesn't say, well, I'm going to make the down payment, but you have to keep up the monthly installments. Now, that's the way a lot of people believe salvation is. They believe that God simply says, all right, here's a fresh start. I'm going to forgive your past, and I'm going to give you a fresh start. Here, I've made the down payment for you, and if you keep up the monthly installments, if you can just keep on making those deposits on your good account, let's make sure the good it's a deposit in the good account. You can't be making deposits in the bad account. If you keep on making them good deposits, well, then maybe you can get to heaven. But I'll have to wait and see if the good outweighs the bad when we get there. Now, that's the way a lot of people think. Listen, I'm here to tell you that's not true. That is not what the Bible says. Jesus has paid it all the way through. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It is done. I mean, I am made perfect forever in God's sight. I didn't get a fresh start. I got an entirely new nature. I got a divine nature. Jesus says, by one offering he hath perfected forever. Now, this is a challenge that I have made before. But since nobody has ever met that challenge, I'm going to give it again. Find anywhere in the Bible where anybody was ever saved twice. Where anybody was ever saved twice. Now, I'm not worried that somebody's going to meet that challenge. You know why? Because it can't be done. It's impossible to be saved twice. It is impossible to save twice. Nowhere in the Bible will you ever find where anybody is ever saved twice. The people who believe that you can get saved and then lose your salvation, they believe that you must be born again and again and again and again. All right? They believe that you keep on getting saved, but no. Jesus said, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Did you know that in order for you to be saved twice, Jesus would have to die twice? You'd have to be crucified. His blood would have to be shed twice. Now, I mean, when you got saved, you got a ticket marked good for one salvation and one salvation only. You are perfected forever, and you don't need a second salvation. Jesus is never going to go back to that cross. He's never going to die again, for by one offering, we're perfected forever. And so perfection is the fourth reason you can know that you are eternally secure. You say, well, wait just a minute, Brother Key. I know you, and I know you're not perfect. Well, imagine that. I'm not perfect. You know what? You're not perfect either. No, you're not perfect. I'm going to agree with you. I'm definitely not perfect. And I know that I'm not perfect. In our flesh, we are not perfect. So what kind of perfection are we talking about here? And somebody will say, well, what if you get saved? What if you get saved and then you sin again? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's look at the premise of this question. What if, did you say, well, it wasn't you that said it, it was me that said it. I was listening to what you were thinking. Yeah. Did you say, what if I got saved? Right? Well, what if? Yeah,
What if you got saved?
What if you got saved and then you sin again? No. Now, if that is what you're thinking, then you just stop right there. Listen, there is no what if when it comes to our salvation. You can be certain of your salvation. You can know that you are saved. That's an entirely different message, but you can know that you are saved. Listen, we can disobey God. And if we do, he carries us to the woodshed. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, right? And we'll talk more about that in a whole other lesson because the Holy Spirit's taken me to the woodshed numbers of times, okay? But let me give you some scripture here that talks about that perfection that I am talking about. And I want you to watch this very carefully. And it's found in Romans chapter 4. And it's very important that you look at this. Verses 5 and 6, chapter 4 of the book of Romans. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him. Does it say, but to him that did a whole lot of good work? No. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man who, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So Paul is telling us right here that you're not saved by doing good works. And people who believe that you can lose your salvation believe that many of them, that you lose it because your good works are not enough. Look at what it says. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now, isn't that wonderful? But now, do you not understand what the word impute means? It means to put on your account. It's like when you go to the store and you want to charge something and you say, charge it to my account, okay? Now, the next time you pull out your charge card to pay for something and you want to have a little fun with the clerk, you say, impute it instead of charge it. Impute it instead of charge it. It means the same thing, but they're not going to know that whatsoever, okay? It means to put to your account. God imputes or puts righteousness on your account without works. Not one scintilla of an iota of good things did you do in order to get saved. Verse 7, chapter 4 of Romans says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now that's a blessing. Hallelujah, right? Every stain, every blemish, every blot, every blur is washed cleaner, whiter than snow. It is forgiven. And whose sins are covered. What does that mean? Not only does he forgive it, he won't bring it up again. It's gone, buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness because we uncovered it. God covered it back up because we confessed it. God forgave it. Okay? Everybody understand so far? All right. Now you say, could it get any better than that? Could it get any better than having your sins forgiven and God forgetting about them? Yes, it gets even better than that. In verse 8, says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you really read these verses and what they say and what they mean? Hallelujah. Yes, blessed is the man to whom God imputes righteousness. Yes, blessed is the man who is forgiven. And yes, blessed is the man whose sin is covered. Hallelujah. But blessed is the man who God will not impute sin. You see, one half of one sin would send me to hell forever. I mean, I wouldn't trust, and I've said this many times, you guys are tired of hearing it, I wouldn't trust the best 5 minutes of my life to get me into heaven. Not a chance. Not a chance. But blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Why? Because for one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Just put that down, perfection. You can know that your salvation is secure because Jesus has perfected you forever, right? All right, now let me give you the next piece, and it is position. God tells us that we are already positioned in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So Paul tells us that there are two creatures. There is the old creation, and that's Adam and all of his children. And then there is the new creation, and that's Jesus and all of his children. Everybody is either in Adam, the old creation, or they're in Christ, that new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means what pertains to Jesus pertains to me. I lose my relationship with God the Father when Jesus Christ loses his because I am in Christ. You see, what is true of Christ is true of me because I am in Christ. I am not Christ, but I am in Christ. I am a part of his body. And somebody says, well, what if you slip out of his hand? Well, I can't because I'm one of his fingers. I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this concept of position is beautifully illustrated, this position in Christ, in the Bible by the story of Noah's Ark. Peter tells us that Noah's Ark is a picture of our salvation. Noah's Ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more than just a story. This is a story that you can put in your heart and write it down. It's not about a great ship. It's about being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you remember how Noah got saved? Hey, let's just see how good you are on your Bible history. God said to Noah, Noah, now I'm going to destroy the world with a flood, but I don't want you to perish, Noah. And Noah, I don't want Mrs. Noah to perish either. And Noah, I don't want Ham and Shem and Japheth. I really am getting old and senile here. I couldn't remember their names for a second. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, right? I don't want them to perish either. And you know what? I don't want their wives to perish either. I want all eight of you to be saved. So far, so good? Sound like the right story? All right. So, Noah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put eight pegs on the outside of that ark. And I want you to drive them in really good and secure so they won't come loose, right? Now, when it starts to rain, I want you to get on a stepladder, and I want you to get up there, and I want you to hold on to those pegs on the outside of this ark. Now, Noah, you hold on just as best as you can. And if you can hold on to that peg until you get until the flood and the rain stops, then you'll be safe and secure. Now, is that the way it happened? Please don't say yes. Is that the way it happened? No, that's not the way it happened. Not one way at all. But that is the way some people think salvation is. Oh, they believe that Jesus is like the ark. But rather than being on the inside, they're on the outside holding on. They're hanging on to Jesus just as tight as they can. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting where somebody would say something like this? Well, now you folks, you just please pray for me that I'll hold on and hold out faithful to the end. I'll hold out faithful to the end, okay? Please pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. Well, you know, I can just see old Noah holding on to that slimy peg saying, Miss Noah, you please pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. And you know, if I can just hold out, I'll be just fine. Well, you know, if that was true, then Noah never would have made it. I'm going to have to remember not to put those up there, right? Noah never would have made it. Not a single one of them would have been able to hang on through that entire time. So let's talk about what really did happen here, okay? God brought them in the ark. If any man be in Christ, God brought them in the ark. Genesis 7:1 says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Now notice what God says to Noah. He says, come in. Now when God says, come in, that meant that God was on the inside, right? If I'm in a room and I say, come in, I'm on the inside, right? If I'm on the outside and I say, I want you to go into a room, then you go where I am not, right? That's the way that works. But if I say, come in, that means you come where I am. God said in Genesis 7:1, come into the ark. That means that God was in that ark and Noah was in that ark. And then the Bible says that God shut the door. Now, why was it God that shut the door? Why didn't he leave it up to Noah to shut the door and put a doorknob on the inside of that ark? God didn't do that, did he? There's no doorknob on the inside of it. God shut that door. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, after we have believed, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so it was God that shut the door in that ark with Noah and himself. Okay? Now, the only way that Noah could have gone down would be for what? If he's trapped inside that ark, the only way that he can go down is if that ark goes down. The only way for me to lose my salvation is for Jesus to go down. Why? Because I am in Christ. I am in the Lord Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, Noah may have fallen down many times in that ark, but he never fell out of the ark. That's the important thing. Sure, a Christian can slip and stumble and fall, but God shut Noah in. God shut the door. After that you believe, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, there are some people who have the idea that one day they're going to be secure. They believe that one day I'm going to be secure. But they think that's going to occur when they get to heaven. They're going to step into heaven, slam the door, and say, "Boy, I've made it. Hallelujah, I'm here," right? "I am safe. I'm now in heaven." Wait a minute. Time out. Wait a minute. What makes you think you're going to be safe up there if you're not safe down here? The angels fell from heaven. What makes you think you're going to fall from heaven if you can't be safe? All right? You know, the angels fell, and you see, security is not in a place. It is in a person. Security is in a person, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. If any man be in Christ he is a new creation. So position, just put it down. Your position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the next P. We're getting close to the end of the lesson today, so bear with me here, just a little bit longer here. Possession. God tells us that we already have eternal life. Now, you all didn't think I was really going to talk about eternal security and not use my favorite verse of all the Bible, right? That John 5:24. This is my favorite verse in the entire Bible. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Notice it doesn't say that you will get everlasting life. You have it. Everlasting life is not something you get when you die. Everlasting life is something you get when you believe. Listen to that verse again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." That means that you have got it right now. In the old King James Version, the word "hath" and our word "has," they mean the same thing. Hath or has everlasting life means the same thing. You've got it right now. You're eternally secure. Now, suppose a man is saved for 5 years. He does really good for 5 years, and then he loses it. What did he have? He had 5-year life, right? Suppose he was saved 10 years and could lose his salvation. What did he have? 10-year life. But if a man has eternal life, if he ever loses it, whatever it was an eternal life. It wasn't eternal life, right? If you can lose eternal life, then it wasn't eternal. That's just not the way it works. He might have called it eternal life. Whatever you have, if you lose it, whatever it wasn't eternal. Jesus said that you have eternal life. That is your possession right now. You have eternal life. Know this and write it upon your heart, that my eternal life will not begin when I die. My eternal life began the moment I received the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," well, I've heard it, Jesus, "and believes on him that sent me," well, I believe the God who sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, "has everlasting life." I have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. All right. I already possess everlasting life. It is my possession. It is my possession forever and ever, and nobody or nothing can take it away from me. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay, so far we have covered 6 of the 8 reasons that you can know that you are eternally secure. First one was promised. God promised you eternal security. If you believe what God says in His Word, then there can be no doubt that you have eternal security. Then perseverance was the second one. God will complete what He has begun. Even before you got saved, the Holy Spirit began a work in you, and He will not quit that work until the day of Jesus Christ. And there is predestination. God has predestined your salvation. God has predetermined your destiny, and nothing you can do can change that destiny. And then there's perfection. By one offering, He, Jesus, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And there's position. God tells us that you are already positioned in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to hang on to them pegs on the outside of that ark, because God has told you to come into the ark of Jesus Christ. He said, come in where I am. And there's possession. God tells you that you already have eternal life. On the day I got saved, I received eternal life. It is mine, and nobody can take it away. Now, we're going to cover the next two next week, and then we're going to get into the appendix, okay? We ain't even close to being done yet, so we're going to have some fun with this, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.